Today on Real Radio.
If blood is thicker than water, a term used for family tightness and closeness, then spirit is thicker than blood. Is it not true that for many of us who are Christians, those Christian friends of ours are closer to us than blood relatives?
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the New Testament narrative written by Luke. Verses 50 through 62 of chapter 9 tell us that Jesus set his face, or was determined, to go to Jerusalem, knowing full well that his execution awaited him. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in a presentation called Going Where Jesus Goes.
On the English side, we don't get it in English, but you know, it sounds like Jesus saying, oh, your dad's dead, huh? Come on, let's go. Just leave him there. He's dead anyway. What's he going to do? Can't do anything. He's dead. What are you going to do? Say goodbye? He's dead. That's not what it means. The word here means that Jesus, I'll follow you. Someday, could be my dad gets hit by a donkey or he dies of old age. Someday my dad's going to die. After I've buried him, it could be 5 years from now, it could be 50 years from now. Whenever my dad's dead and I bury him, I'll come and follow you. That's what the word means. His father was not dead. In that culture, if someone dies, you got to bury them before sunset. The father's not dead. The man's procrastinating. He loves the message. He loves Jesus. Oh boy, I'll follow you. But let me first wait a while. I gotta take care of family business. And Jesus is not even telling him to leave his family. It's a priority issue, is it not? This man, by saying it with his actions, not necessarily by his words, he has declared, watch the contradiction. Lord, Master, ruler of my life. Call all the shots. Jesus, you're it. I'll follow you anywhere, anytime, everywhere. However, this condition applies. Then you cannot call him Lord. You cannot call him Master. What is being done here is the exposure of an idol in the man's life. As noble as it may sound, I've got to wait 10, 20, 30 years until my father dies, then I'll come and follow you. My friend, let me tell you this. The gospel, when it comes to your ears, is never convenient. Let's be honest. It's never convenient. You say, well, Jack, when he says, let the dead bury the dead, Jesus said, let the dead bury the dead. Is the man not dead? The Father, Jesus announces to us, is spiritually dead. Let the spiritually dead people bury the spiritually dead people. You, my friend, come and live. That's what Jesus is saying. By the way, you might think, well, that's still kind of harsh. Listen, there's only one way to get your father, who is spiritually dead, to be alive spiritually. And that's for you to come to Christ and begin to pray, intercede, and show your dad the way to eternal life. You want your dad to live? You want your dad to experience eternal life? Then be a Christian. Live like a Christian. Speak like a Christian. Follow Jesus. And people will say, you know what? I want what you have. And your father eventually will ask you, I want what you have. I think it took 20 years in my life. It's probably because my witness was so rotten. It took 20 years for my dad to say, I want what you have. It's hard to lead your family to Christ. Have you tried? You can witness, man. You can hit the streets and preach, and a crowd gathers around. I remember being sick to my stomach. Coming home from a trip in 1992. That sounds like 1776 now. I came home from a trip from Moscow, Russia in 1792. And I said, Dad, we were on the streets in Russia in front of Lenin's tomb preaching the gospel. In front, 20 feet from Lenin's tomb, preaching the gospel. And my dad was so mad at that, he got so angry. That's ridiculous. You spend that money and you go over there to tell the Russians that they can have eternal life? That's ridiculous. My dad was not a Christian, and being a military man, he did not want the Russians to find out that they could have eternal life. He was mad at me. But you know what? 1 week before he died, he said, tell me again about this Jesus of yours. And he prayed and accepted the Lord on the phone and died 7 days later. Hey, I don't care if it's 70 years or 7 minutes. Please, Dad. Please, Mom. Accept the Lord. But Christian, you can't wait. You got to follow Jesus now. You got to follow him now. Urgency. Jesus is inviting this man to eternal life. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. 2 Corinthians 2:15 says, our lives are a fragrance represented by Christ to God. But this fragrance is perceived differently by those being saved and by those perishing. In other words, look at you. Look at me. We're walking around and we have, remember Pigpen and Peanuts cartoons? Remember Pigpen everywhere he goes? Anybody know Pigpen? Okay. Remember where he goes, you can see the odor or in the dust and the dirt? Well, convert that into a good smell, and that's the Christian. We're walking around with our blanket. Or is that the guy? Well, it doesn't matter. We're walking around in the dust and the stink and all this stuff, except instead of flies flying around us, there's angels around us. And we have this aroma of the fragrance of Christ. But the Bible there in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 is very, very accurate. It says, to those who are perishing, we are like the smell of death. To those who are saved, we are like life-giving perfume. Have you ever heard of this? It's pretty profound. Birds of a feather, what? Flock. Yeah. Spiritually, the Lord says, what fellowship does a believer have with an unbeliever? I mean, we work with non-believers. We live with non-believers. We have to, but we don't fellowship with them. We don't tell them our deepest, darkest secrets of life and our desires and our goals. They don't understand. Can you imagine going to a non-believer and saying, I want to be more like Christ? I mean, the guy will go out and get a hammer and nails and nail you to the house. He doesn't understand. Okay, then. They don't get it. Urgency. Jesus says, let the dead bury their own dead. There's people that are spiritually dead, and they don't care. So Jesus is not teaching disrespect, and he's not teaching anything but priority in life. Yesterday, this is not in my notes, it's just kind of fun. Yesterday, I don't usually go out of the house on Saturdays. I'm usually studying all day long. I got ahead, and Lisa said, can you go? She knows. She's so smart. She's looking, how you doing in your study? Good. I'm almost done. Great. I've been praying for you. Okay, super. So I'm studying. Then, you know, an hour later, yeah, are you done? I think I'm done. I think I'm done enough. Good, because you know what? I want you to go to the store with me. You guys, women, since the garden, can be very dangerous. She knows I can't say no, because I have my Bible open. Will you go to the store with me? Yes. I don't want to go. But the Bible is like saying, you got to go. You got to go. Minister to your wife. Love your wife. You got to go. Where are we going? Steinmart and Albertsons. Praise the Lord. And I go, we go, and we're in Steinmart, and we meet four people from church in Steinmart. And it's so fun because watch what happens. This is Steinmart. First stop, Steinmart. And it's pretty packed yesterday. And by the way, as everyone's shopping around, you know, Brenda, Pastor Jack, Lisa, Lisa, hi, praise the Lord, God bless you. Checking out, people walking in, hey, Pastor Jack. Christians are loud people. And people get really quiet. And it's, you would have thought that Steinmark was the living room of our houses. Hey, how you doing? Praise the Lord. See you tomorrow. God bless you. Oh, my granddaughter. Oh, prayer. Oh, great. Awesome. So then we get in the car, and we drive to Albertsons. And saw you at Albertsons, right? We're at Albertsons. Hey, praise the Lord. God bless you. In line. Hey, Pastor Jack. And checkout person, box person. Hey, Pastor. We wound up meeting 7 people in Albertsons. And Albertsons, you know, people are, they're on a mission. But what are we? It's now the living room of our house. Hey, praise the Lord. How you doing? God bless you. And people get really quiet. Can they do that publicly? Can they just talk about God like that? It's absolutely awesome. It's absolutely beautiful. The point that I'm making is this. We talk like this, and all of a sudden, in a sense, the world shuts down and listens because they want what we have. They want the fellowship. They want the connection. There's a sense of urgency. I want that. And then when you say, Jesus, it's like, oh, I can only have that through Jesus. Yes, that's true. And then necessity. Jesus says, but you go and preach the kingdom of God. That's the answer. Go and preach. I don't want to spend much time on this other than to say this. As Christians, what are you and I doing? Personally, God speaks this to me, and I know he speaks it to you. Jack, what are you doing personally to either go or preach the kingdom? That's not even an option. If I call him Lord, then I am to be going and preaching the kingdom. Now, you might say, well, I can't go. That's fine. Are you sending the preaching and the going of the gospel? The team's in France right now, and some of you helped them go. Awesome. Personally, every single one of us should have helped them to go. Russia's coming up. Every one of us. I don't care, my dear friend, if it's $1 that you give to help a team member get to Russia or get to Germany. You got to help them. Are you a Christian? Yes. Is he your Lord? Yes. Then he says, go. Where? Wherever he says, whatever opportunity he brings, and preach. I don't know how. Then send somebody who does. Huh? Send somebody who does. Or go. Short term, long term, go. Hey, you don't even have to leave this nation any longer. Go to Cal Poly Pomona and preach Christ. It's amazing. There's people on that campus, they don't even know who Jesus is. Amazing. Necessity. Third point in 10 minutes. Point number three in 10 minutes. Ready? We got to go fast. Jesus goes to our devotions, 61 and 62, devotion to his authority. And another also said, Lord, they all started out the same way. I will follow you. We've heard that before. Again, this man recognizes the greatness, the value of Jesus' words and the need of the kingdom. This man is verbally ascribing to Jesus, Lord, he's ascribing his authority. Jesus, I believe that you are the authority. But his decision to act upon that declaration is altogether different. The Bible says in Revelation 19, verse 6, that Jesus Christ is omnipotent. Did you know that? Jesus is omnipotent, all-powerful. God is all-powerful. Jesus is all-knowing. He's all wisdom. Jesus Christ, the Bible says, is God revealed in flesh to mankind. The authority of Jesus Christ and the devotion that we should pay towards him is ultimate. And we are not to say Lord in word, but more in action. Colossians 2:19, this is a great verse. We're almost done, so hang in there. Colossians 2:19 says, for in him, that is Christ Jesus, dwells all the fullness of the Godhead. By the way, chew on that for a while. That's the plurality of the singleness of God. As Christians, we are monotheistic. We believe in one God. Colossians 2:9 says, there's one God, but in Christ Jesus, he represents and unfolds to us the nature and the person of God. For why? It says that he is revealed to us the fullness of God bodily. That is the word in a corporeal or physical sense. When you looked at Jesus walking, you were looking at the very person of God in human skin. John 1, verse 1 and 14. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 14 goes on to say, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Awesome. Secondly, under this point is leadership. Jesus goes to our devotions to challenge leadership. Devotion to his leadership. He says, this man says, let me first go and bid them farewell who are in my house. You say, what's wrong with that? There's nothing wrong with that. Jesus looks into the heart of the man, and there's something about devotion. In Mark chapter 10, verse 29, the Bible says that Jesus answered and said, assuredly, I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands, that is country, for my sake and for the gospel's sake, who shall not receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands or countries with persecutions, and in the age to come eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last shall be first. What is he saying? That there is a life of devotion to the Lord that transcends even the closest relations that we have in blood. I don't mean to offend anybody at all, but my friend, listen, I pray this is true for all of us. If you're a Christian today, then you have deep spiritual fellowship with at least one other person on this planet. You should have more. It's called koinonia in Greek. It is... In fact, it's where you come away with this thought. If blood is thicker than water, a term used for family tightness and closeness, then spirit is thicker than blood. Is it not true that for many of us who are Christians, those Christian friends of ours are closer to us than blood relatives? How can that be true? It's by the Spirit of God. How does that happen? By letting the Lord lead us in life. And this man is declaring, I got to go home first. My priorities and my devotions and my focus is on them first. Church, listen. It's always, always, always God first, family second, ministry third, and whatever else after that. God first, family, ministry. You can't love God, have a messed up family, and be involved in ministry. You love God, you take care of your family, and then God out of that will use you in ministry. Jesus is not contradicting that. God first. This man needs to start out with God first. And he's having a hard time with that leadership. Exodus 20, verse 3 says, of course you know this, you shall have no other gods before me. And then third, we end with this devotion to his duty. Jesus says in verse 62, no one, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. What an amazing statement. No one, having put his hand to the plow. Jesus' point is this, don't look back. Okay, I want you to think for a moment. You know that this is true practically. You and I may not operate plows these days, but watch this. Do you know that if you're driving a car, especially if it's a very high-performance car, or you're going very fast, you're driving that car, and did you know that if you look over your shoulder, do you know what happens? Anybody know? You turn. So I'm not going to turn. I'm not turning the wheel. If you look to the left or to the right behind you, you'll turn. Ever so slightly, you'll turn. This is exactly what Jesus is saying. If you're going to come with me, if you're going to travel with me, if you're going to follow me, you can't look back anymore. You can't look back at idols. You can't look back at your old life. You can't look back at anything that would pull you off the course. He's not saying divorce yourself from your family. He's not saying neglect your father, he's not saying that you can't have a life in the sense of this is how I once was. He's saying, can I put it this way? Get over it. Get beyond it. Put it in its proper place and follow me. Why look back? In Philippians 3:13, Paul the Apostle gave that incredible statement. Just really a commentary on this verse in Paul's life. Brethren, he says, I do not count myself to have apprehended. That is, I have not finally finished the course which Jesus has gotten a hold of me on, but this one thing I do. I forget those things that are behind me, and I reach forward to those things that are ahead of me. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Please, quickly in closing, we know what this is like. I want you to associate yourself with something in your life and then use it as an illustration for your Christianity from this time onward. What is it in your life? Think about it. What do you do that you can't mess up? I've seen some women in this church who are incredible. I don't know what you call it, but what's it called? Calligraphy. Amazing. I can't do that. But they've got a system, and they got it down, and it's perfect how they do that. My utmost respect. There are some of you, I know there's some of you who are pilots in here, and commercial airline pilots. And that's very critical. And you imagine going down the runway, Delta Flight 492, and you're clear to take off, and the pilot's going down, and he wants to start looking out the other side of the window. Can you imagine? Look, a pretty fire truck. You don't want that guy looking left or right. You want his face glued to the windshield of that plane. And they do that. They're not looking around. Maybe some of you are farmers. I know that's getting rare in this region. Everything's being built on, but what if you are plowing? How many of you mow your own lawns? Raise your hand. If you care about mowing your lawn, you got to look across the yard and set a target. Why? Because I don't know about you, but I'm a freak about the lawn being mowed straight. And I got my lawnmower. And I don't look at the lawnmower, I don't look at the wheels, I look across the yard at something. And you start and you move toward it. Jack! Don't talk to me when I'm mowing. And then here's the thing. Are you guys as sick as I am, or is it just me? Is it me? You get all the way across. I want to see how straight it is. If I look to the left or to the right, my lawnmower goes off. Jesus says, don't be like that when you're following me. Let's follow Jesus. Yes, Lord, let's go. I'll follow you anywhere. Okay, let's go. Whoa, look at that. You'll crash. You'll burn.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation called Going Where Jesus Goes. It's a look at Luke chapter 9 and verses 50 through 62, part of our journey through this New Testament narrative, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, we do want to remind you of a couple of outreaches we have here at Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills. First, hischannel.com carries our television outreach called Journey with Jack Hibbs. Journey with Jack Hibbs on hischannel.com. His channel also airs our midweek study on Wednesday nights. Just visit us at realradioactive.org and click on the link, realradioactive.org. Our number is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. And if you're enjoying our radio and television outreaches, drop us a line and let us know. If you'd like to do it the traditional way, here's our address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Of course, all of our contact information can be found at realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous participation of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine. amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.